Well, good evening, everybody. So nice to see all the faces out there. Welcome. We hope that you have a blessed time this evening. Can we just commit this time to the Lord? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this special night we can celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord, that as we rejoice with the shepherds, and as we sing songs of praise with the angels, and as we worship with the wise men, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to what you want to say to us this evening. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless our time together this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Here, the devil lives again. The lame boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Glory,
glory, glory.
Kia ora.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The words that come to us through the reading of Scripture can often come across as flat or uninspiring or seemingly without significance. And we can easily become familiar with them and gloss over them as if we're reading a novel, something to entertain us without necessarily changing us. And this is particularly true at Christmas time when there is so much to distract us away from the true message. We celebrate Christmas every year, and it can easily become mundane or repetitive or about something else completely. And so in an attempt to add a layer of significance and meaning to the story, we recount the nativity scenes as we read them in Scripture, and we do dramas and we sing these beautiful songs. And we do this so that we can be drawn into the Christmas story. And it's not just any story. It is the story of God's love for us. It is a story of how God made a way for us to have peace with Him. It is a story about redemption. It's a story of God's great plan of salvation. It is a story of hope and promise. Earlier, we read the account of the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary with the words, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary's response is one of great agitation and fear. Now, why would Mary be troubled? Well, of course, God's message came to her with all the impact that it deserved, in that it was a message about the most important event in history. And it was delivered by the angel Gabriel. Now, this must have been a sight to behold. We know from Scripture that when Zechariah received a visit from the same angel, he was gripped with fear, the Scriptures tell us. There must have been something about the appearance of the angel that warranted such a response. But there's more to it than that. Luke 1:29 says, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words." And so not only was the appearance of the angel troubling, but so were his words. "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." That doesn't sound troubling at all, does it? But what we see here is the response of a young girl, probably no more than 14 or 15 years old, who is at a loss as to why she has found favor with God. You see, her words reveal the state of her heart before the Lord. There was no sign of self-righteousness, no sense of deserving God's favor, but rather in humility and with honesty, she's left wondering what kind of greeting this might be. Why would God send an angel to greet her in this way? Perhaps we are too quick to claim all the promises of Scripture without pausing to consider why they are in fact relevant. The words to Mary were not significant because they were delivered by an angel, although that was the emphasis. They were significant because they were the words of God to her. And even now, the significance of Scripture should hold great weight with us, because they remain the very word of God. And while it may not be delivered to us by an angel, we would do well to pay attention and receive it as being God-breathed, as the Scriptures tell us, with humility, just as Mary did, because it comes to us as a message of hope and promise to the unworthy, for all who would accept it and believe. And so through His Word, God meets us where we are, just as He did with Mary. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary." And He sets her fears aside by calling on the promises of God. "You will give birth to a son. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. He will sit on the throne of David. He will reign. His kingdom will never end. His very name, Jesus, or Yeshua in Hebrew, means the Lord is salvation." What a promise it was. And yet this promise is not recorded in Scripture for Mary's benefit, but for ours. God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and He promises salvation to all who would believe in His name. He says, "Do not be afraid." He says this to you and to me, and we can lay all our fears and our troubles and our sin before Him, because His promises are true. How do we know that His promises are sure? Well, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, according to prophecy. He lived the sinless life that we never could. He died the death that we deserve. And He rose again, according to the Scriptures. And He did this for you and for me. Now, concerning this hope and promise, the Scriptures tell us, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. The hope that we profess is a sure thing because He is faithful and because His promises are true. J.I. Packer said, "The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, He might hang on a cross." May our response be as Mary's was when she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." It's only when we are willing to become like humble servants before God that we find the greatest meaning and joy in the Nativity. When we are willing to lay down our own agendas for the season and allow Him to tell the story. Because as it says in verse 37, no word from God will ever fail. As good as these things might be, Christmas is not about giving and receiving gifts, or the spirit of giving, as we like to call it. It's not about the food, although we enjoy it very much. It's not about the lights, the tree, or the decorations, although these are very pretty to look at. It's not even about family. The Christmas story is God's story. And He invites each one of us to enter in, because it is here that we meet the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the great I Am This helpless babe is the God of hope and promise. The song, Mary, Did You Know, that was danced to earlier, has some brilliant words in it, and I'd just like to read some of them to you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Augustine put it this way. He said, he was created of a mother whom he created. He was carried by hands that he formed. He cried in the manger in wordless infancy. He is the Word, without whom all human eloquence is mute. May we never become so sentimental about Christmas that we take for granted the greatest message of hope and promise that has ever been told. May the Lord's word to us today be fulfilled. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminder at Christmas time that you alone are the God of hope and promise. Hope in that you loved us and sent your only begotten Son to be born in a lowly place, to live with no home and die in our place, that through him we can find peace with you and look forward to eternal glory in a place that you have prepared for us. We pray that you would forgive us for when we have attempted to write our own story or rewrite your story, and we ask that you will draw us into your story beginning at Christmas. May each one of us be able to say, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Amen. Each week during Advent, the 4 weeks leading up to today, we have lit one of the candles that you see here before you. And these have represented love, joy, peace and hope, and we've heard messages around these themes too. And today's candle is the one in the center. It is, of course, the Christ candle. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Someone using an illustration of a fireplace explained it this way. They said the light that the fire sheds, the warmth that the fire brings, the scent of the burning wood, and the crackling of the embers, these all combine to make it such a beautiful experience. But you can't have all those things without the fire. The things we love about the fire come from the fire. And the fire is at the center of the light, the warmth, the scent, and the crackling. And it's the same with Christ at Christmas. We all want hope, peace, joy, and love, but some people seem to want them without Jesus. It's like wanting the light, warmth, scent, and crackling of the fire in the fireplace without the fire. It doesn't work that way. Just as the fire is central to all the good things about the fire, so Christ is central to Christmas. Hope, peace, joy and love all come from Him. He is the center, and we only enjoy the good things of Christmas because of Him. And so as you watch the Christ candle burning this evening, in the center of all the other candles, remember that Christ is central. He is the reason for Christmas. He is the one who brings true hope, peace, joy, and love for us all. And so let us draw near to Him in worship, to praise, to follow, and believe. I invite you now to light, switch on your own candles, which really symbolize the light of life as we sing a few more carols. You can remain standing for the blessing.
Tonight we are reminded of the greatest event the world has ever known and will ever know, the giving of the Saviour of the world.
Tonight we recall the greatest and most far-reaching gift of love ever given.
Tonight we acknowledge again the fact that Jesus Christ has come.
Tonight we proclaim with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength that Jesus Christ alone is Lord.
All blessings and honour, power and glory to be to Him alone, forever and ever.
May the peace of God, the love of God, the hope that we have in God, and the joy of God that fills us be upon us all in this season. May we all rejoice in the sure knowledge that Jesus Christ has come and that He dwells amongst His people today. Let us all rejoice together and proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. We're going to finish with a final carol, and then not sure what the time is, but we can wish everybody happy Christmas after that. Thank you.